You turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 63, verses 1 through 8. Psalm chapter 63, verses 1 through 8. It's a prayer of David. He indicates that he's early in the morning, he's seeking God, and he's longing for that experience to be similar to when we gather in corporate worship and God's power and glory is seen. So we see that in verse 1, early will I seek thee, referring to early in the morning. And then verse 2, he desires to see the power and the glory, similar to what he sees in the sanctuary of God. So that's, if we keep this in mind as a prayer of David early in the morning, you could say maybe in his morning devotions, this is an example of a morning devotional prayer. Psalm 63, beginning at verse 1. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, and thy right hand upholdeth me. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.
First, I want to thank you for your prayers for this morning and Brother Paul for his prayer on my behalf. I certainly want to thank you for your continuing prayers and support of us at this time and all that you've done for us in remembering us and praying. And maybe sometimes you wonder, is it doing any good? Well, it always does good, one way or another. Just to give you a little bit of a update where I'm at right now and to kind of explain things, one of the ways of determining your kidney function is by looking at your what's called your GFR, and they check that when they do blood work and can determine what your kidney function is. And it, for a normal person, it should be for the regular person or the normal person, it should be 60 to 90, that number. And that number needs to get to 20 or below 20 before they will start considering you for a transplant. Back in the spring, my number had dipped down to 13. And so we had initiated before that, going to Hershey, going through some testing, scheduling testing, and then a lot of testings were done on myself. And I passed all those tests, and they deemed me as worthy of a kidney transplant. Now, that puts you on their kidney transplant list, and they tell you that if you're waiting for a deceased donor, a person who is deceased, you could be looking at 4, 5, 6 years. So they encourage, obviously, live donors. But so I'm on that list. But recently, my blood work, and I get blood work at least every month, my blood work has showed that my GFR has shown a little bit of improvement. And the last blood work that I had was up to 18.9. Now, that's not good for you, but that's very good for me. And my doctor was very pleased with the numbers, and she has been the last several months. Now, she has very much emphatically told us, maybe not emphatically, but for sure, has told us that my kidneys will not get any better, medically speaking. What's dead is dead, and they will not get better. Well, in the midst of all this, keep that in mind. With my numbers getting a little better, as they have, I said to her when we were there just Monday, 2 weeks ago, I guess it was, tomorrow. And I said, look, or with my numbers being where they're at, I'm not ready for a transplant. She said, no, you're not. And really, my numbers should be worse in order to get a transplant. Now, technically, I could, because I meet the criteria of Hershey, if there's a donor that matches. But at any rate, I explained all that so you would know where I'm at here. So then I told her, and I don't want you to think that I'm putting myself up, because there's times I should have said something, no doubt, and I didn't. But this time I said something. I said, you know, there's an awful lot of people praying for me, and I guess that's the wrong use of the adjective awful. Now, so you got to understand, my doctor, we think she's from India. So I don't know where she's at, religiously speaking. But I said, you know, there's an awful lot of people praying for me. And I said about how it kind of bowls me over, the amount of people praying. And I said, maybe God's up to something. She just continued to look at her computer. She didn't respond. But that's okay. I don't know if God's up to something or not. Those numbers could dip this week. But that's where I'm at, and it kind of gives you, I had to kind of explain some of that so you know what all that means. So you know where I'm at. Now let's get back to what's really important here this morning. The title of the message is Where Do We Turn for Help? In the wee hours of June 3rd, 1980, that's a long time back. I was a junior in high school in 1980. That's hard to imagine. In the wee hours of June 3rd, 1980, National Security Advisor Brzezinski was jolted awake by a phone call from his military assistant, William Odom, who told him that Russia had just launched 220 nuclear missiles towards the United States. The incoming Soviet missiles were 30 minutes from impact. Brzezinski knew President Jimmy Carter had between 3 and 7 minutes to order a retaliatory strike. He asked Odom to confirm the report and call back at once. As Brzezinski fought to calm his nerves, Odom called again. It wasn't 220 missiles, he said, but 2,200. It was a doomsday Soviet attack on America. Brzezinski sat there, stunned, alone, in the middle of the night, his hand on the phone to call the president. He did not even awaken his wife. He later said that reckoning they would all be dead in half an hour, and he thought it best if she just died in her sleep. And just before Brzezinski called Carter, President Carter, Odom called a third time. It was all a big misunderstanding, he said. Someone had accidentally put military training tapes into the National Defense computer system, and the computer had presented the training tapes as an actual attack. There were no incoming missiles. Brzezinski let out a sigh of relief and eventually went back to bed. I wonder if he was able to sleep. Now imagine what a misunderstanding of that nature could have led to, in fact, was close to leading to. Isn't it true that we like to understand other people, and we like other people to understand us? You know, probably many of us have been frustrated by a phone call. Maybe we're in need of some kind of help, only to have a difficult time understanding the person on the other end of the line. We want to understand. We want to be understood. You know, we have someone who never misunderstands. Someone who knows exactly what is happening in our lives. There's never a chance that a false report will cause him to think differently about us. There's never a chance that he can be swayed one way or the other because of misunderstanding. And this someone, of course, is our Heavenly Father. No one understands our lives like he does. When others mean well, but they can't quite grasp what you're experiencing, he knows and he gets it. And he understands. And that truth can bring tremendous comfort. But it is also very, very sobering. Because that means that God knows and understands our every motive, my every thought, my every attitude. Nothing slips past him. There's nothing that's hidden from him or that we get away with. But thank God. You know, that little conjunction, but, it's pretty important. But thank God there is grace and mercy and forgiveness. And I ask you this morning, that is it real in your life? Is it real? And are you enjoying a relationship with God, our Heavenly Father, and basking in his grace and in his mercy and his forgiveness and his understanding? Because I can tell you, if you are, it's a place of peace. Or I can say, if you're not, you're missing out on a place of peace, a place of help. Who is better to help us than the one who completely understands us? The psalmist said in chapter 121, verse 1, he said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Now listen, that isn't quite the way it sounds if you read it that way. He is actually asking questions. He's actually saying, shall I lift up mine eyes to the hills? From whence is going to come my help? And he answers his question, and in verse 2, he says, my help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And you know, Jeremiah spoke of the futility of looking for help in the wrong places. He said in chapter 3, in verse 23 of Jeremiah, truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills. And from the multitude of mountains, truly the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. Psalm 146, verse 3 says, put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help, meaning people. The Psalms are loaded with references to the help of the Lord. Psalm 30, verse 10 says, hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Psalm 60, verse 11, give, and is speaking of God, give us, or to God, give us help from trouble. For vain is the help of man. Psalm 124, 8, and I'm just listing some of them. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. You know, I appreciate the help resources that we have today. One of the things that was especially helpful at times when I was trucking was the GPS on my smartphone. That thing came in handy more than one time, let me tell you. I didn't have a GPS unit per se, but I had it on my phone, which was fine. And I appreciated the help that that gave me, that resource. And you know, I appreciate computers and computer programs that help us. And I appreciate the internet when it's used properly. A lot of you do because you use it, but it has to be used properly. And the help it can give us. And I'm thankful for people who care and who are helpful. You know what I'm really thankful for too? The last year and a half has taught me that I'm really thankful for nurses, good nurses. We have some in our congregation. And I'm also really thankful for good doctors. I am so amazed sometimes that I'm blessed to have the doctors. You know, I was mentioning my kidney doctor, and I used to go see her in Hanover. Her office was there at least some of the times during the week. She had one in Gettysburg and Hanover. Well, it came to our attention that she was going to be moving to York. So we had this choice. We can either stay there, and I appreciate it. We liked the staff really well there, the nurses. But then we have a different doctor, or we can follow her to York. Well, because of how much we appreciate her as a doctor, we're going to York. So I appreciate the help of them. And I'm humbled and thankful for so many who are willing to give me, mind you, a kidney. I'm thankful for a family and wife who do all they can for me. They have proved over and over and over their love for me. Yet, my greatest needs, the needs of my heart and of my mind, and the needs of my family that I can't reach, and the needs of my circumstances that are out of my control and I can't quite control, only God can meet those needs. Even with all the help resources we have, only God can meet them. And it's Him that I must cry out to. And you know, I'm just amazed that Brother Andy had no clue what this sermon was on this morning. Thou thinkest, Lord, of me. What need I fear, since thou art near and thinkest, Lord, of me? He thinks of me. I have to cry out to Him for help. Hear my cry, the psalmist said in Psalm 61, verses 1 and 2. Surely the psalmist understood this when he said, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And we even sang about it. Perhaps there are times that we feel like God is distant. I've experienced those times. Sometimes it's my own fault. I've wandered away somewhat. There's some kind of sin. But you know, I think maybe there's other times too, when sometimes it just seems that God might be a little distant in our lives. And maybe sometimes we even start to lose a little hope. You know, you can't live without hope. You realize that? You won't go long without some hope if you're completely out of hope. Maybe there's some times we feel that way. Listen to these words, because they make the point. And it's exactly what we still need to do. The writer said, you feel helpless. You feel hopeless. Like your whole life goes unnoticed. But someone knows. And someone sees. So when you're on your knees, even when it feels like heaven is silent, even when you think nobody is there, even when it seems like you're invisible, even when you wonder if anyone cares, even when you can't find the words, Here's the key. Cry out anyway. Cry out anyway. Because there's not a tear unseen, nor a prayer unheard. I believe that. Do you? He goes on to say, in the darkness, he will find you. Through the long night, he's beside you. There's no secret. I love this line right here. There's no secret, no mistake that would make God turn away. Wow. There's people that would turn away from some things if you told them, or if I told them. They wouldn't want to hear it. They wouldn't want to be around us. God's not like that. He won't turn away. So cry out. Ask your questions. Say all you need to say. You know, it's all right to ask God questions. I think the attitude behind them is important. But it's okay to ask him questions. Say all you need to say. He might answer with a yes or no, or he might say wait. The whole point is cry out. Cry out, because there's not a prayer unheard. Cry out to the one who knows. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to what? Help in time of need. Where do you turn for help? Where do I? It needs to be to our Heavenly Father. He never, never misunderstands us. Well, not only is God the one who never misunderstands, but he has all the resources that are needed. He's omnipotent. A little prefix means all. Omnipotent means power. He's all powerful. I wonder if sometimes we take that for granted. Oh, yeah, I know God's all-powerful. I wonder sometimes if we really take it for granted. Because here we are, you know, it's hard for us to grasp it because we have limitations. We wear out. We get tired. You know, at the point of where I'm at right now, I'm pretty good walking on the level. That's not too much of a stretch. But if I go out the basement door down here, walk up the parking lot, it's a slight incline through the field up to the volleyball where we set up the volleyball, that's a chore for me right now. That's not easy because I get tired. Doesn't happen to God. He never runs out of power. He can do something that's mighty, and you know what? He has just as much power as he had before. He never runs low. I like the statement or the way what A.W. Tozer wrote, and he said this, and I quote, since he, meaning God, has at his command all the power in the universe, the Lord God omnipotent can do anything as easily as anything else. All his acts are done without effort. He expends no energy that must be replenished. His self-sufficiency makes it unnecessary for him to look outside of himself for a renewal of strength. All the power required to do all that he wills to do lies in undiminished fullness in his own infinite being. End quote. Yet, that should be exciting to us. Because as believers, we have a personal relationship with an all-powerful God. And that means that there's nothing in our lives that he can't handle, nothing that's going to wear him out, and one day he's going to say, Dwayne, I'm sorry, I'm out of energy, I don't have the power to help you today because I used a lot for Brother Jeff yesterday. It's all right, Jeff, if you needed it. We all need it, don't we? He don't say that. There's no need that he can't meet. Well, that doesn't mean that all will be rosy, but I'll tell you what it does mean.
It means that God's limitless power provides all the grace and the strength for the present time, all the time. Do you believe that this morning? If you have experienced it, you can say amen louder than that, because I can tell you that that's true. The all-powerful God provides grace and strength for the present time, every, all the time. You know, Paul experienced trouble. He had some tough times in his life. You look at his life and a lot of things we wouldn't want to face and would hope would never happen to us. But he went through it. 2 Corinthians 4:8 says this, and Paul speaking, he says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair." And that word despair really means that we're not without help. And Paul realized that even though he went through these tough things in his life, he wasn't without help. And I can tell you this morning that neither are we. We're not without help. You know, statistics say that the majority of people are right-handed. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. There's some lefties in here this morning. I have a few in my own family. But it's about 10% of the population are left-handed. Now, one's not better than the other. But for some reason, God has made more people right-handed than left-handed. Well, in Scripture, the right hand is used to express or be symbolic of God's power, of His authority, and His blessing. In the text that Brother Paul read this morning in Psalm 63, really the two key verses that are the verses 7 and 8. He says, "Because thou hast been my help, therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me." The right hand of God, symbolic of his power and authority and blessing. Psalm 17:7, "Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them." Psalm 118:16, "The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly." And Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Where do we turn for help? To the God of all understanding and the God of all power. Well, God's power transforms lives. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the" what? The power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You realize that your salvation experience is a result of the almighty power of God. His power have an effect on your life. You know, I read about a boy named Jimmy. He grew up on an Indiana farm, but he fell into the world of drugs. Drug stuff is nasty stuff. Stay away from it. There's no good. Well, Jimmy fell into it. He moved to Chicago and lived in a holes beneath the street, where he feasted on an endless supply of different types of drugs. His nickname became Jimmy the Rat. I guess he was living like one. One day, while lying on a filthy bunk below the level of the street, Jimmy heard someone singing hymns on the street above. It stirred him, and he remembered the songs that he had sang, or at least heard in church when he was a boy. And it wasn't long after that time that he stumbled into, what do you think, the Pacific Garden Mission. And Jimmy accepted the Lord. His life is transformed.
By God's grace, he was able to overcome his addictions, and he returned to Indiana, became a successful farmer with a Christian wife and children. Transformed life by the power of God. 45 years ago, in the summer of 1973, when we had those hot two-week revivals, we didn't have air conditioning back then. We had two-week revivals in the dead of summer. It was at that time that I accepted Christ as my Savior and Lord. You know, along the way, it's been a lot of failures on my part. Things that I'm ashamed of, and times when I've needed a new beginning. But nevertheless, my life has been transformed by the power of God. I'm not the same person I was 45 years ago. Oh yeah, I grew up into a man to be a man, but I've been changing all along. And your testimony and my testimony may not be as dramatic as Jimmy the Rat, but nevertheless, it's just as real and it's just as true. And it's because of the power of God has impacted our lives and changed us. So where do we go for help? Where do we get it? From the only one who has the power to change our lives. Well, God's power not only transforms our lives, but God's power sustains us. Psalm 124. First, listen to this, what he says. It's a psalm, it's another psalm of David. He says, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, and then the second verse it repeats, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. And he goes on to say, what would have happened when men rose up against us? Then they had swallowed us up quick. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us to a prey, or as a prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped. And he says in verse 8, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heavens and earth. You know what David was saying? He was literally saying that, look, if it wouldn't have been for the help of the Lord, we wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't have made it. Except for his help. Well, let me tell you, you wouldn't be here either, and neither would I, except for the sustaining power of an almighty, powerful God. It's God's sustaining power that gets us through each day, that gets us through what we might not understand at the time. Now, if you haven't gone through something like that in your life yet that you don't understand at the time, get ready, because as a believer, it will happen. Somewhere along the line. Someone said it well, with these words. They're titled, For What I Don't Know. And it's really a prayer. Listen to this, because it's so true. As you know, it's a prayer to God. You know the road I'm walking down, the pain and the fear. I don't really have a lot of pain, but I had some fears. I'm going to be honest with you. The fear that I'm feeling now. I'm looking back to move ahead. I'll follow you with every step. Now listen to what he goes on to say. For what I don't know, I'll trust your will. If I shouldn't go, then I'll be still. Till I have peace down in my soul. Because you understand what I don't know. Please go before and lead the way.
You know it's easy, Lord, for me to stray. O gentle shepherd, be my God. I'm protected by your side. For what I don't know, I'll trust your will. If I shouldn't go, then I'll be still. Till I have peace down in my soul. Because you understand what I don't know. You know your plans for me, the good plans you have for me to walk in faith and victory. Standing on your word, I will believe that for what I don't know, I'll trust your will. Till I have peace in my soul. You'll give me that peace because you understand what I don't know. Psalm 55, verse 22 says this, cast thy burden upon the Lord. Why? And he shall sustain thee. He does that because of his sustaining power. He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Where do we turn for help? To God, our Heavenly Father, the one whose power sustains us. Well, for the believer, God's help is ever present. God's help is ever present. You know, I don't have to think, okay, what's the number to call here? Well, 911 will get me. What's the number to call to get to God? And then I can't think. I have a mental brain freeze, as they call them. Doesn't happen. God's presence is ever near. It's ever here. Or his help is ever present. Hebrews 13 tells us why that's true. Verse 5 says, let your conversation, your lifestyle be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, now get this, he has said, God has said, Christ has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And because of that, the next verse is true. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. He's my helper. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. That means he's an ever-present help. Because he says, I'll never leave you. And I won't forsake you. Now, if you're not his child, you don't have that privilege or that blessing. You're missing it. You need to turn to the Father for mercy and help for your soul to begin a relationship with Christ. Where do we turn for help? To the one who won't forsake us, who's always available. By experiencing God's help in the past, it should make us want his help all the time. Think about that. You know, because sometimes we think, I'll call on God if I can't get through this. I'll try it. I'll do all I can and do my, you know, I'll do my, what I think I can handle this. And then if I don't, I'll call on God. By experiencing God's help in the past, it should make us want his help all the time. And I refer you back again to verses 7 and 8 of Psalm 63. Because thou hast been my help, past. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. In other words, I'm going to take security. I'm going to enjoy myself under the protective hand, your right hand, under the shadow of your wings. And that's where I want to be, under your helpful hand. In fact, my soul followeth hard after you, because your right hand upholdeth me, and that's what I want. One of my favorite hymns is the hymn, I Need Thee Every Hour. It's written by Annie Hawks and Robert Lowry.
I don't know if you can or not, but I can just sense a passion in these words. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. And then here's where it seems especially passion. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. She went on to write, I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. It's so true. If I don't have the presence of God in my life is vain. There's nothing really that means more, is more valuable to me than the presence of God. I need thee every hour. Teach me thy will, and thy rich promises in me fulfill. I need thee every hour, most holy one. O, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. It's as if the psalmist is crying out with an overwhelmed heart and saying again, I'm going to the rock that's higher than I need you, oh, I need you, most blessed Savior. Every hour I need you. Where do we turn for help? To our Heavenly Father, who never misunderstands. He understands us completely. So he's qualified better than anyone to help us. And not only that, he is all-powerful. His power transforms our lives, it sustains our lives, and is always available. Shouldn't we keep turning to him for help?
I don't know if you know it or not, but we've been separated, you and I, for the last 2.5 weeks. I've been away. And this morning I was made to think of all the changes that have happened in the 2.5 weeks that I've been away. Things are not the same. In 2.5 weeks I've been away, there have been terrible floods in places. And people's lives change. There have been terrible earthquakes. There have been tsunamis. There have been fires. Closer to home, some of you have had some rough doctor visits. Some of you have lost loved ones. Things change quickly in life. But I'd like you to hear the words of God through the prophet of Isaiah. The Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness. And his wisdom and his knowledge are the stability of thy times. His wisdom and his knowledge are the stability of your time. And the strength of your salvation, the fear of the Lord is his treasure. Life changes very quickly. But your stability is in who God is, his attributes. He is all powerful. He has wisdom and he has knowledge and he loves you. You can trust in that and find your stability in that. Let's rise for prayer.